Dune, the greatest selling sci-fi novel in history, that was actually labeled as unfilmable when other attempts had previously fallen flat, is at the top of the box office right now, with fans and critics clamoring for the most recent installment of the Dune series, with many unaware of the hallucinogenic and occultic underpinnings in the Islamic messianic secret in the film.
The Good Fight Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be looking at this new movie, Dune, actually the second installment of the series Dune, that was written quite a long time ago, back in the 60s, by Frank Herbert. And I think a lot of people are missing, because they're seeing so many beautiful things about the film, they're missing a lot of some of the underpinnings, some of the things and themes that are going on in there. And so to get deep into that, we want to talk about that with none other than the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel.
Amen, Chad. Yeah, we're so glad to be dealing with this, because this is, like you said, Chad, it's the most famous, popular book, science fiction book ever. And it's been made in this movie, like you said, was unfilmable. But now it's the cinematography and everybody's just raving about it. A lot of Christians are raving about it. It's like, wait, there's more to the picture than meets the eye, because you need to look at what is the underlying messages in this movie. And let's talk also about the author and what was he about. And just as, you know, Chad, we look at scripture, we read Holy Scripture, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Bible warns about doctors of demons in the last days. Is it possible that this guy would open himself up in some way to the demonic world?
You know what, Joe? I don't just think it's possible. I don't just think it's probable. I think absolutely.
Absolutely.
And in fact, we can actually look at what has been said. In fact, here is what mycologist Paul Stamets said regarding the author, Frank Herbert.
A friend of his.
A friend of his, according to him. He said, quote, "When I met him early in the 1980s, Frank enjoyed collecting mushrooms on his property near Port Townsend, Washington." Quote, Frank went on to tell me that much of the premise of Dune, the magic spice that allowed the bending of space, the giant sandworms, the eyes of Fremen, the mysticism of the female spiritual warriors, the Bene Gesserits, came from his perception of the fungal life cycle, and his imagination was stimulated through his experiences with the use of magic mushrooms. So, Joe, even if I'm just from a cursory understanding, looking at that one quote, and by the way, this comes from an article on Yahoo, and the article is titled, quote, "Frank Herbert's Magic Mushrooms and the Psychedelic Science Behind Dune." If I am looking at this from a biblical perspective, and we understand that everyone has a worldview that is built upon the things that they believe, and for us, our worldview is bent, not just bent on, our worldview is not only dedicated to, our worldview is completely subjugated to the Word of God, and we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and we find out that someone was using mushrooms, getting into psychedelics, and then all of this series that is the, you know, the most read series ever, sci-fi history, and now a number one box office hit, two number one box office hits, it doesn't seem like it's an accident, and it seems positively spiritual.
Yeah, Chad, it's absolutely amazing when you realize that the foremost science fiction book in the world is written by a guy who claims he was inspired through taking magic mushrooms, opening himself up to the spiritual world, opening it up as it's been said, his third eye, you know, and all these revelations pouring through him. They weren't coming from his own consciousness, but through an altered state of consciousness. And the Bible warns that we open ourselves up to demonic beings, demonic entities. And since the Bible does warn about doctrines of demons in the end of days, and you specifically see warnings in scripture about pharmakeia, hallucinogenic drugs in the end times. In fact, that word pharmakeia, pharmakous, pharmakon, the Greek words, it's a cognate group of words that are used five times in the Bible, are used four times in the book of Revelation, indicating this would be a specific problem in the end of days that people, Revelation 9, 19 through 21, would refuse to turn from, but that it would just, to use, not to use no pun intended, but that it would mushroom in the end of days. And in the book Revelation, Chad, it mentions that in Revelation 21:8, those who partake of pharmakeia, and they don't know how necessarily to translate it because we don't have a word that really captures it. So it's often translated magic arts, witchcraft, spells. It's sometimes translated dopings, druggings, because it's speaking of using drugs to open yourself up to the demonic world. The early church fathers talk about how that was a problem in their day, and it's a bigger problem even today. So what's interesting about this is Revelation 22:14-15 talk about those who practice pharmakeia won't enter into the heavenly city. But what's even more amazing is the Bible talks about the whore of Babylon, and it's this prostitute that rides the beast, the Antichrist, to power, that she'll deceive the world through her pharmakeia. She'll be using these hallucinogens through the mass drug trafficking and so forth. And this is what's amazing, Chad, is he's into this, but the main pursuit that everybody has in the early Dune books is something called spice. It's also called melange. And that's where in the dunes, they're trying to harvest it because you need it for all those things, space travel. You need it for to decrease aging and so forth. But you also need it to enhance your occult psychic abilities. And it's interesting because the Bene Gesserit, who are this priesthood of women who are seeking to rule the world, this divine feminine, which is another thing that's rife in the occult right now, right? You have Bene Gesserit using spice melange, which they're harvesting, and everybody wants it to enhance their occult abilities, psychic abilities. And it's interesting, they are seeking to bring forth this Christ figure, this messianic figure, who's basically ultimately the Antichrist, you know, when you really look at this, you know, although he's portrayed for many, the average moviegoer thinks this guy's great when they don't read all the Dune books. But it's interesting, they are riding the beast. They're bringing the power, and they're using hallucinogens, pharmakeia. They're using spice to enhance his psychic abilities so he'll be fully open to the spirit world. You see him after he's been involved in this, hearing voices and everything else, and increasing his telepathic abilities and so forth. So this is just right out of the occult. And according to Aleister Crowley, the Satanist, you know, he talked about the whore of Babylon. He talked about to worship me. He wanted to be the beast himself, take strange drugs, you know, and so forth. It's just interesting. And if that was the only piece we're going to talk about, when you see how the pieces fall together, your mind's going to be blown, because there's a lot of occult, you know, occult underpinnings, as Chad mentioned earlier in this whole series.
And one thing also we want you to know, and we don't even typically say it, because if we're spoiling something for you, we want to spoil it because you're realizing that this is something that I want no part, no fellowship with it, but I want to expose the unfruitful works of darkness here. But we will give you a spoiler. We're going to be telling you what happens in the movie. And I also want to let you know that I myself had an allergy attack, so if I'm not able to see on the right side, that is the reason.
He has not been doing any spice. I can attest to that.
I have not done any spice, and I've been saved now for 15 years.
Praise the Lord.
No, nothing spicy whatsoever in my life. But praise God. We want to give those warnings, though, in case someone got offended for some reason. But we don't care if you're offended about us telling you about a movie that probably shouldn't be seen as a point of entertainment, but rather if you are exposing it. And Joe, if we're looking at this and we're seeing somebody obviously heavily influenced by drugs, we are seeing, and we've tried to express as clearly as possible, the end times deception. In fact, as you mentioned, I mean, Revelation 18:23 makes it clear that the whole world is deceived by the merchants and their pharmakeia, right? So sure. These guys are pushing drugs. It's not an accident. But then opening yourself up, and this was interesting. This was also in the Yahoo article. It says this, that Herbert had taken peyote, which is a controlled substance often turned into a tea in Central America. Once again, very hallucinogenic, something that a lot of those in Native America and so forth were using. And a lot of people would probably trace some of that demonic stuff, you know, whether it's, you know, seeing gods in the trees and so forth, of what was going on there as well. But it also says this, and this was a name drop in the article that I found interesting, when it says, quote, he was also heavily into Carl Jung and his idea of collective unconscious. Now, Joe, I think this is an important aspect to bring out, because you have a lot going on there with this Bene Gesserit group. This, obviously, they're witches. I mean,
yeah.
And you know, with all the baby stuff, it has, there does seem to be a lot of stuff going on sexually. I mean, this is some demonic stuff. And by the way, it is dark Like this movie, everything about it is completely just a dark, dark element. And you're seeing some of the stuff and seeing the drugs, and it's like, well, where on earth is this going?
Yeah, that's a good question, because you mentioned Carl Jung and the collective unconscious, and a lot of people believe that Jung was himself influenced by a lot of Crowley's teaching, but tried to make it more scientific with, you know, demons being mere archetypes, as Crowley would sometimes pretend, and so forth, and the collective unconsciousness and so forth. But it's really interesting, because when you have not just the... Now, keep in mind, it could be said, well, yeah, spice ended up being a bad thing in the Dune. Well, guess what? He's influenced by these spirits, right, that end up influencing him to write this, and spice becomes this really wonderful thing. It's like a metaphor for like oil, you know, and water, and you really need it and so forth. And anybody watching that, especially in the Harry Potter age that we live in right now, they're seeing how it can enhance your occult, psychic abilities and so forth. That's what kids are doing in mass right now. So it kind of pushes that whole thing. And Chad, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, is again, you know, Dune, 1965, on the heels of this whole thing where spice is so glorified, you have the whole experimentation age and the hippie revolution, which was counterculture, which is now more mainstream today. And now you see a lot of so-called professionals talking about hallucinogens as though it's a really good thing, not letting people know that you're really, you know, opening yourself to the demonic world. And it's interesting, the Telegraph writes, Frank Herbert's magic mushrooms and the psychedelic science behind Dune, how Dune's author's love of hallucinogens and fungi inspired the trippiest space saga of our age. Well, you don't just think in terms of it inspiring this saga, but inspiring the masses. And what's interesting is this priesthood of women who are in touch with their occult abilities and enhancing them through spice to bring forth this false messiah, who they will try to bring to the world as a messianic figure, even basically setting up the Fremen with a false prophecy about the coming messiah that they will be able to receive, knowing that it's not really true with regard to the Fremen, but it's their false messiah who they want to present as the real messiah. But what's crazy is there's also this sex magic thing going on with Aleister Crowley, not just using drugs and with what he called the Whore of Babylon, which would be a woman figure typifying the harlot, which the Bible warns is Satan's false church. And that's what these women seem to represent, you know, the scarlet woman, Satan's false church. There's also this whole idea about sex magic where Crowley would use the Whore of Babylon and try to breed forth super beings by bringing forth a being that would be possessed by a perfect soul, or really a demonic entity, to bring forth ultimately the ultimate Antichrist. He himself hoped to be the beast, as you know, Chad. And what's amazing is they are trying, the Ben, when you look at what they're doing, the Ben Gesserit, they're trying to use this to bring forth a super being to rule the cosmos. And so it's hard for me to believe. Now, he may not have been fully into Crowley, like into Crowley's stuff and not getting all these ideas. He was into the same demons that Crowley was in, because he was doing the same thing Crowley was doing and kept getting similar ideas from these demonic entities.
Amen. And before we even get into some of the messianic element that we have to talk about, we can't just, you know, bypass that. I do want to point out some things from the novel that show that Herbert, who was high on drugs, by the way, but specifically having to do with sex, and this is what it says, and they're having an argument with how many sex positions there are, 51, 250,
that they can
and
use,
so forth,
yeah,
that they can use. And she says, quote, more, actually, if you count minor variations, I am an imprinter, which means I have mastered the 300 steps of orgasmic amplification. So it seems like, obviously, this guy's a pervert, and, you know, talking in this manner, it's just kind of disgusting. But Joe, obviously, we could point that out, and as believers, that we could entertain some sort of things, and people might be watching the film and be like, well, they're really, you know, they're not showing a lot of sex. They imply things, but they're not showing a lot of it.
It may be coming in future Dune movies.
It definitely could, and a lot of that's because they want to make sure they get their PG-13 rating to push this nasty worldview stuff. But Joe, also, there are a couple different terminologies that are used, and some people have been offended on both sides of this. And so, you know, when you have the Mahdi being used over and over again of Paul, you know, the main character here, when you also have Messiah being used as a quote of the main character, obviously, whether Muslim, Jewish, you know, you believe in the Maitreya and so forth, or, you know, obviously Christians believing that Jesus is the Messiah, people are going to, their ears are going to perk up. And then when you read the description of the film, and it does say this, and we've seen guys commentate on this before, whether it's Spencer Smith and others, and literally quotes and says this, quote, Paul rises to leadership through military strategy and political maneuvering, but his superhuman powers and ability to fit himself into pre-existing religious infrastructure allow him to force himself upon mankind as their Messiah. Now, Joe, we can look at that and say, wow, well, obviously it's clear. You know, you have him as this messianic figure. You have him as the Mahdi. And even he himself says, some people call me a Messiah and others a false prophet. Now, we're going to be the latter on that. But, Joe, it does seem like this messianic element from this shroom-eaten guru who wrote the film, obviously it seems like they're pushing narratives in an ecumenical move that does seem very anti-Christ-like.
Absolutely. He's a powerful picture of the Antichrist, and we'll get into it in a moment. We, Chad and I, are very, very aware that, you know, he's, when you look at the Dune books, that, and we'll get into that later, it's pretty clear that he's not saying later that he's a great guy, but the he's definitely presented, even Yahoo points out that he's not really a villain either, and you have a positive feeling about him, which is true. Most people go away rooting for him. You're definitely not, you know, rooting for the guy that's 500 pounds, the pedophile, and his demon son. You're meant to root for this guy in this movie. Yet at the same time, it's also supposed to be a tale of caution, but we'll get into that in a moment. But Chad, if I was to ask you, if I was giving you a list of things about, you know, Paul Atreides, the messianic figure, and I was to say, but I didn't tell you who it was, and I just mentioned certain things about someone, just your blank slate right now, other than knowing what the Word of God says, who do you think I'd be describing? What if I said, and I'll give you a few points, okay? He's being prepared with occult powers, and people are being implanted to accept him, and so forth, which of course would be, you know who. He will pretend to be the Messiah. He'll be a false Messiah. He'll have mystical or occult powers, you know. He hears voices. He'll kill millions, ultimately. He'll be worshipped. He'll take the throne, you know, basically be the God figure. I mean, biblically, who am I describing?
The Antichrist.
Absolutely.
The Antichrist. Absolutely. You couldn't get around it. You can't look at those descriptions, and you cannot see in the film. Then we watched this together, you know, wanting to make sure we had enough information, and then went back to the books and watching reviews and watching what the people are saying about it. And yes, as Joe already mentioned, we could look at it and say, oh, well, he ends up being a bad guy if you actually read it. But then there's some other stuff that happens, you know, specifically when he has twins with his son becoming pretty much a half version of a god versus a half version of a man, and then becoming the god emperor and so forth in this, you know, further along.
That's not even the film. John the Baptist.
And even other people pointing it out, yeah,
secular people.
Even secular people have pointed out specifically that he is the John the Baptist character, in that once he is humbled again after becoming very proud from taking this messianic position, that guess what? In the beginning of this film, the whole time he doesn't want it to happen. He's like, no, I'm not the Messiah and so forth. And, you know, obviously there's some Southerners that are just waiting to just take him on as their Messiah. Really interesting.
And maybe,
Joe,
we should talk about that right now.
I think that's important. And when you're watching this film, and hopefully you just say, I don't want anything to do with it. I pray for that. But when you're seeing this film, there is this narrative going on during the movie specifically, that he doesn't want to go down south, because if he goes down south, he knows those Southerners who have a different accent, who are called fundamentalists, that they're going to immediately accept him as Messiah.
Chad, okay, let's talk about that twist. If I just describe without thinking of the movie, I talk about how Hollywood characterizes, you know, the characterizations and of Christians often, and how they try to make him look backward. And I say, okay, these people are considered backward. They're considered Southerners, and they have a funny accent, and they're called fundamentalists, and they are described as being narrow and so forth. That's all in the film, but who would that typically describe when the average person sees the movie?
Oh, yeah, they would think Christians.
And they're waiting for a Messiah.
Absolutely.
You know, that's constantly waiting for the Messiah, and they're easily led for hundreds of years with a false hope. That's also in the movie. So on one hand, it takes a slam at Christianity. On the other hand, it seems to be a conditioning for Antichrist. And I'm very aware that the author is saying, well, I'm actually warned about following messianic figures. Well, ultimately, he's warned about following the Lord Jesus Christ because he presents this messianic figure in a very positive terms at first until you get to the next book. But what people say, Chad, we probably should point this out. When you get to Dune Messiah, well, it's like, yeah, he's presented a lot of, you know, hardcore Dune nerds will say, yeah, well, actually, you know, he shows that this guy, he's really a villain ultimately because he's selfish and Shani, he kicks aside and he wants his own purposes and he destroys a bunch of people in the, even the Fremen end up being destroyed and so forth, which is all true, right? But what's interesting in the movie, he's still the hero that you want to root for. Now, if you know the lore, you realize, okay, he ends up making bad decisions. But if you are honest, you'll say, hey, look, he didn't have a lot of ways out. He's presented with these different options, and ultimately he sees the way to save the Fremen and himself is to make these moves. So it's kind of these situational ethic kinds of things. But what I find interesting is most Dune nerds will say, yeah, but the next guy, you know, Leto II, you know, his heir, he rules for, what, 3,000 years. He actually is a benevolent dictator. And for him, it's not like the ends justify the means, really. He becomes a good guy. And really what happened is Paul Atreides, he went the wrong way. But think about it. When you look at the one he's the John the Baptist to, his son, Leto, when you look at that, how does he rule? He also rules with an iron fist. He rules in such a way where, I mean, he destroys the ability for you to harness technology. He separates people. You have no interplanetary travel and so forth. But for him, the ends justify the means. What I'm pointing out is it's very, very convoluted. It seems like a contradiction. Although some, nerds of the books will say, well, he actually is showing that guy as being evil too. However, he has wonderful things to say about Leto II in the book. So it's really convoluted to see exactly where he's coming from as far as his own motives. But I believe when you look at him barely coming out with what he was really inspired by, saying just a little bit here and there and what he was writing about, I see these novels as really promoting you got a couple options. I mean, he basically has a do what thou wilt, very libertarian mentality, because when he's asked about his faith, he says, I believe you can mine certain things from religions. But basically, he says, do your own thing. You use your own judgments, learn from your own mistakes. Basically saying, be your own God, you know? Do what thou wilt, meaning don't submit to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you don't want to follow any real messianic, you want to follow our Savior. You want to basically realize that you're kind of basically your own God, he's saying, because he's saying ethics derived from you. And when that happens, guess what? You don't have one Hitler, you just have millions of Hitlers.
Yeah, and Joe, I know we could go on and show the biblical and what the Bible actually says concerning the Antichrist, and we could see a lot of parallels with what's going on here, but we could also see them in Islam, which a lot of Muslims are upset about this movie as well. But, I mean, we see this as an end times deception anyways, the ecumenism and the Antichrist, everyone's going to come and worship him. I mean, right. it's not like, oh yeah, it'll just be the Muslims or it'll just be the New Agers. No. They're all going to come. There's going to be a great falling away as well. And so he's going to deceive people with the great signs and lying wonders and so forth. But Joe, a lot of Muslims are upset because they're seeing, oh, well, the Mahdi. And, you know, we actually have a message you guys can check out, not only at Blessed Hope Chapel. We can put a link in the description of the original message, but we even put it up here on our channel because of how important it was, showing what we believe concerning eschatologically what lines up with the Bible and the end times and where the Antichrist might come out of. Because a lot of people have different views. Some people believe he's going to be an atheist, which I don't see that at all. Some people believe that he's going to be a Jewish person. Some people believe he's going to be a pope. I think the false prophet fits that much better. So do you, and you express that in the teaching. But Joe, when you look at it from this perspective and you see the Mahdi and coming, the Mahdi, it says very clearly in a number of different texts, when you look at the hadiths, which are the commentaries on the Quran, that he's going to come and he's going to snap the crosses, right?
Yeah.
He's going to wage war.
Kill
the Jews. And they're going to tell them, hey, there's a Jew behind, the rocks are actually going to cry out, there's a Jew behind here, come and kill him, right?
Right.
And it's radical when you actually look at this and you see the war being waged on behalf here of the Mahdi, the Messiah, and so forth. And it lines up with a lot of Islamic stuff.
It's really crazy. If you go back and look at our especially if you see Dune, whether you have or not, you look at our message. A couple months ago, we tagged a sermon I did, and it's like, I don't know, a couple months back, just look for the coming Antichrist on our Good Fight page or our Blessed Hope Chapel sermon page. And it's really crazy because, Chad, what we show there is that Muslims are being set up, both Shiites and also Sunnis. By the way, it's quite amazing when you look at the fact that those who are being deceived are being implanted with these lies from the Bene Gesserit, with these lies to receive this false Messiah, which will be Paul Atreides, whose name, by the way, his second name given, is a bastardization of Mahdi, Mahdi. And it's interesting when you think about this, Chad, because when you look at what they're doing here, is they're showing this Antichrist being set up, or this messianic figure being set up with lies, which blows me away, because I'm like, this guy had to be getting this from demons, because this is exactly what was happening through the Hadith. It's as though Muslim leaders took the Bible, the book of Revelation, revealing the coming of the Antichrist, and they turned it inside out and gave it from Satan's perspective that, hey, this coming Antichrist is actually our Mahdi, and they use, and we don't have time to get all, we get into that in that message, and they basically implant these lies so Muslims will receive the coming Antichrist. And it's just astonishing when I started checking out what Dune was about, is, dude, that's exactly what is happening right here, is you have the Bene Gesserit implanting these lies for them to accept him as the Mahdi and rule the world and conquer the world. And you look at what's going on there, there's a lot of irony, and it's almost as though he's just channeling a lot of what would hopefully happen in the future.
You know, Joe, we could get into the Zen Buddhism stuff. We could get into all of the different religious aspects that he puts into this series. And it is mind-boggling to me that, you know, you could have the Marvel series, the DC series, and that's put together over decades and decades with a number of different writers, and a lot of the cosmology of Marvel and DC, they kind of are all over the place. But you look at somebody putting this all together, high as a kite, you know, hallucinating through this stuff, and you see the spirit behind it, ultimately, when you see it all coming together this way. And what's interesting, Joe, is no matter what it is, no matter what we're talking about, all of it goes back to the same thing, because there is a culmination where this is all leading to. There's a culmination where it's all leading to for us as believers, that we're going to be with Jesus forever and ever. But it's also culminating for what's going to take place during Armageddon, what's going to take place in the end times. And, you know, I think the most important thing is, if you guys are seeing this, recognize the spiritual aspect of it, because ultimately, if you're not in Christ, you're going to fall for this stuff.
Amen. Everybody needs to make sure they know Jesus Christ, because the Apostle Paul wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that all those who refuse to love the truth, accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, recognize that they're sinners, and that they need to be saved, not be their own gods, because God will have no other gods before him, and throw themselves on God's mercy and receive Christ. When you receive Christ, you receive eternal life. But it says, all those who refuse to love the truth will be given over to the lie. They'll be given a strong delusion to believe the lie, and they'll receive the Antichrist, and they'll all be condemned because they had pleasure in wickedness, and they preferred wickedness to God's truth. So we encourage you, if you're listening, that there's much more to the picture than meets the eye, that this novel that came out, this series of novels, there's actually something far deeper going on, and we're actually in that reality. This is science fiction. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You need him to be saved. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Come to him now before it's too late, because we're all going to stand before God. Your life's a vapor. You're here today, gone tomorrow. Make sure you're right with Jesus.
Amen. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel and host Chad Davidson, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, visit us online at goodfight.org. Join our growing social media family and consider partnering with us at patreon.com/goodfight.